Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time to gather together as your people. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your preserving hand upon us this last year. Father, we pray that you would be with us this coming year. We pray that as we gather here to sit under your word and reflect on the truths found in Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would comfort us, and that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to go into this new year looking to you as our only comfort in life and death. Well, we ask you for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read Romans 14, verse 7 and 8, which reads, "For none of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." 2 Corinthians 5:15 reads, "And he died for all, that those who live should not from now on live for themselves, but for him who died for those who rose again." And then I'm going to read Catechism Question 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which asks, "What is thy only comfort in life and death?" The answer, "That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head, yes, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him." Well, we just came out of a crazy year. I don't know, maybe that's just my opinion, but even the last 2 years have really systematically removed many of the things people turn to for comfort. As Americans, we have taken comfort in many things. Our economy is one of them. The ease of our lives in this country, our jobs, and even the unity among the diversity of the people in this country, and how it's been a peaceful thing in the past, has been a comfort. Today, many of these comforts, though, are slowly being eroded. They're being removed. And in a sense, it's good that these comforts are being removed, because maybe by God's grace, people will begin to look for a comfort that this world cannot take away. Well, as we begin this new year, let's remind ourselves of the comforts found in Jesus Christ. And Lord's Day 1 reminds us of these comforts. And they are the comfort of belonging. Belonging to our Savior and not ourselves. The comfort of the satisfaction for all of our sins. And the comfort of deliverance from the power of the enemy of our souls. Another comfort is the preservation by the Father's hand of our life and even into eternity. And lastly, the comfort of assurance that we possess eternal life. Well, the Catechism, first of all, instructs us regarding our first comfort, that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when we come into the world, we are born in sin. We're enslaved to our fallen nature and the power of the devil, and we are void of any comfort in life and death. You see, before Christ, we could not sin. That's all we could do. In fact, it was so bad that we actually enjoyed our sin. And we thought it strange when people didn't join in with us and embrace us and our sin. And really, this shouldn't surprise us. This is how the world responds to us as Christians today. They're shocked that we won't embrace abortion and transgenders and many things that are contrary to God's word. But something happens when the Spirit begins to work graciously in our hearts and in our minds. He begins to convict us that what we were doing was, in fact, sin. And we begin to become uncomfortable. I don't know, that was my experience before Christ. I began to become uncomfortable with my sin. It was no longer something that I embraced and enjoyed. Well, there came a point when I could no longer find comfort. And it was the same for all of us who have come to Christ. We no longer found comfort in the things that we sought solace in. We became aware and uncomfortable in our sin and in the reality that we are accountable to a holy God. And when we heard the gospel, when we heard the good news about what Christ did for us, that he bought us off the slave market of sin, we found comfort in that. And since he purchased us, we no longer belong to sin. We no longer belong to self. We no longer belong to Satan. We now belong to Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 7:23, he told them, "You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men." In fact, before that, in chapter 6, verse 19, he was telling them, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" And he again says, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." So if we're in Christ, we belong to him. Whether we live or we die, we belong to Christ. And really, this is the foundation of our comfort, that he is our God and we are his people. And knowing that we belong to Christ is the greatest comfort that we can have in this life. And so as you enter into 2023, enter into it with the comfort of knowing that you were bought by Christ and you are his precious possession. And so the question today for us is, have you been bought? Are you one of his sheep? Have you heard the shepherd's voice calling you to himself? Well, if you have responded to him, embracing what he has done for you by faith, then you can have comfort in knowing that he has bought you and you are his. Well, the catechism continues answering, why is belonging to Christ a comfort? Again, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins. You see, we belong to Christ because he paid for our sins. He paid for our sins past, present, and future. And the price to be paid for our sin was his precious blood. And Peter brings this up in 1 Peter 1:18. He says, he reminds them that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What a comfort to bring into the new year. The sins of 2022 are covered by the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The sins of today are covered. And all the sins that we will commit in 2023 have already been washed away as far as the east is from the west. And so without the blood of Christ, we would still be in our sins. We would still have the wrath of God hanging over our lives. And on that final day when we breathed our last breath, that wrath would come crashing in upon us. It would not last for a moment. It would not last for a day or a year, but it would last for an eternity of eternities. There will be no comfort offered on that day for those who are outside of Christ. There will only be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But there is a salve of comfort that one can apply to their sickened soul, and that salve is the blood of Christ. It is Christ who comes and applies it to your heart by his Spirit. And once it's been applied, the comfort begins to flow. And this comfort is a comfort for life and for eternity. Now, when we belong to Christ, we can find comfort that our sins are washed away and that the power of the devil has been broken in our lives. And this comfort doesn't embolden us to keep on sinning. Rather, it teaches us to live godly lives that glorify God. In fact, Paul addressed this in Titus 2, because a lot of people were saying, hey, you're forgiven of all these sins. Well, then, you know, why stop sinning? I mean, you're forgiven anyway, right? But Paul tells Titus, no, it's the grace of God that brings salvation, and it has appeared to all men. And it's that grace, verse 12, that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And he says we should live soberly and righteously and in godliness in this present world as we await the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a special people zealous for good works. Well, to find the comfort spoken of by our catechism, we need only confess our sins, and he will be faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as we see in 1 John. And there is a great comfort in knowing that your unrighteousness has been exchanged for the righteousness of Christ. And so now when the Father looks at you and he looks at me, he does not see all our sin, but he sees all of Christ's righteousness. And so now when the Father looks at you, he doesn't see it. He sees that righteousness of Christ. What a comfort. What a comfort for those who have been bought by Christ, whose precious blood has covered their sins. Well, unfortunately, for those who still walk in ungodliness, there is no comfort. In fact, John warns in 1 John 1:6 that if we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, he says, you're lying. And we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if your life is characterized by sin and darkness, there is no comfort offered to you. Only a dire warning that if you do not forsake your sin and walk in the light, you will find no eternal comfort, only eternal judgment. But for those who walk in the light, there is comfort for this life and for eternity. Well, the Catechism continues answering the question about Christ being our comfort, and it adds next that he redeemed, he delivered me from all the power of the devil. What a comfort to know that you no longer are under the power of the devil. In Christ, you have been redeemed from the grip and forever delivered. We have been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, out of his sphere of control and influence, and we have been brought into the kingdom of light. You see, nothing in this world has the power to provide this kind of deliverance. It's only through Christ. And Christ had to take on flesh to triumph over the principalities and powers. We read in Hebrews 2:14 that since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of the devil and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So what a comfort to know that Christ has triumphed over the enemy of our soul. Though he still prowls around like a roaring lion, everything that he does must have our Father's stamp of approval upon it. That means that we can take comfort that all the trials we face are from our Father's hands. Nothing will come into our lives in 2023 that the enemy snuck by our Heavenly Father. And so as we go into the new year, take comfort in the fact that you've been delivered from the enemy. All his evil intentions for you will be used for your good and for God's glory. The devil has no power over you and your life in 2023. That's comforting. You've been bought. Your sins have been paid for. And the power of your enemy has been removed. Everything that comes into your life this year is from your Father's hand. Well, that brings us to our next comfort, the comfort of preservation. It says, He preserves me, that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. What a comfort to know that God preserves us. If He was not preserving you and I, we could not, we would not stand at all. We couldn't make it through another day, let alone another year. I don't know how many times last year I realized, like, unless God sustains me in this situation, or even sustains our country, or whatever it is, we cannot go on. God is a preserving God, and He preserves His people. And so praise be to God that He preserves us. He preserves our faith. He preserves our bodies, our lives. And He also preserves our souls as we journey through this life and on into eternity. What a comfort. What a comfort to know that all that's coming this next year, every trial, every blessing, is handpicked by God, the Father, for you and I. And whatever comes, we can be sure that He will preserve us through it all. What a comfort. That when He sends those things our way, that we're not going to be alone. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am walking through this with you. I love the psalm where it talks about, I am behind you, I am before you, and I lay my hand upon you. There is no escape from me. I have you completely surrounded. What a comfort. Well, Paul says to the Romans in Romans 8:28, we all know this passage. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So to those who love God, those who love Christ, who belong to Him, this promise is for them. Everything is going to be used for your good. I always think of the story of Joseph. All the trials that he went through. I would have broke down probably the first week in prison, but he was going through probably years in prison and all the betrayal. But even though all that he had gone through, in the end, when he was talking with his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20, he says, But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save many people. You see, God preserved Joseph through it all and used everything for God's intended purposes and glory. So take comfort this year in God's providential preserving care of you and your family. No matter what's going to come, no matter what the economy is going to look like, no matter what illness comes in to your life or loss of life that might surround you, God is going to preserve you through that. He's going to make everything work out in the end for your good and His glory. What a comfort to take into the new year. Well, then the catechism points out that the Holy Spirit also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. So again, when we are found to be in Christ, you know, we find comfort. Comfort in knowing that we have eternal life. The comfort of our assurance comes by the Holy Spirit, the catechism points out. You see, because God gave us the Spirit as really a down payment to let us know that He is our Father and we are His children. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul told the Corinthians that who also has also put His seal upon us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You see, it's the witness of the Spirit of God in our hearts that gives us assurance that we belong to Christ and have eternal life. You see, as we supernaturally cry out to the Father, we realize that the Holy Spirit resides in us. New life has been implanted in us, and we can have assurance that the work of Christ has been applied to us. You don't naturally cry out from your heart to God. It is the Spirit that assures us of this salvation. And that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. As John says in John 3:36, Christ says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him," because it's already there. But you and I, we can have comfort knowing that our faith in Christ assures us that we possess eternal life as well. If you've heard the shepherd's voice, if you follow him, be assured that he has given you eternal life. In John 10:27, Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he says in verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." What this means is that nothing in 2023 is going to separate you from the life Christ has purchased for you. Eternal life has been purchased for you. Nothing that's coming this year is going to separate that from you if you are truly belonging to Christ. And eternal life is more than just duration of time. Eternal life is a quality of life based in relationship. In fact, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Well, we can find comfort in knowing that the relationship that Christ restored will go into this new year and will go on into eternity. You can be assured that the abundant preserving care of the Father that began in eternity past will go on into eternity future, because you are a possessor of eternal life. You have been assured of that. Well, the Spirit not only assures us of this eternal life, but makes us willing and ready to live the rest of our lives on earth for Christ. And this is further evidence that the Spirit lives within us, and that is that we desire to live for Christ. It's not a natural desire. You see, before Christ, we had no other thought than to live for ourselves. We carried out our desires, which were enslaved by sin. But after coming to Christ, the Spirit took up residence within us and caused us to desire to align our lives with God's will and his word. As Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So not only have we been purchased, had our sins removed as far as the east is from the west, not only have we been given eternal life, but the Spirit resides within us, giving us the desire to live the rest of our lives in such a way that please the Father and bring him glory. Well, what a comfort it is to know that our lives will bring him glory as we walk with him in the coming year, and that nothing that comes our way will rob us of our desire to live our lives that please him in a pleasing way. What a comfort. What a comfort it is to live for someone else besides ourselves. What a comfort it is to live for someone else and somewhere else when everything in the world is sinking sand. Everything around us seems to be falling apart. I almost feel like I want to cry out with the psalmist. When the foundations are destroyed, what do the righteous do? God is in the heavens, the psalmist says. And so we can rest in that. Well, brothers and sisters, let's close with our catechism question again. What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins, and he's redeemed me from all the power of the devil. And he so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must work together for my salvation. And wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life. And he makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who have gone before us, our forefathers who have written this catechism. I pray that you would help us reflect on these truths today, Father. The comforting truths found there, and which are really just a picture, a consolidation of the truths found in your word. We pray that you would apply them to our hearts and our lives. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and that we are yours, and that you will be with us this new year. And so we thank you, we praise you, and we pray that you bless the rest of this day. In Christ's name, amen.